Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifies,
World of Outlaws,
Archives,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, fame, short tracks.
All the way to the high-banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
Here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Sure hope you enjoyed that weekend. Hopefully it was as nice where you are as what it was here outside the Racetime Radio Studio today. Man, spring has sprung. Junior, what's going on?
Hey, they got on the racetrack at Delaware, so that's a good sign.
Hey, there
everybody
you go.
Else canceled, but Delaware Speedway got out of the gate with their practice day, so that's
wow.
good.
Wow, what a weekend. What yes. a weekend. Nice to see a little bit of warmth in that sunshine here, I'll tell you.
100%.
Some welcome news. Some big races on the weekend, too, man. Richmond had Xfinity and Cup, and then, of course, today on MAV TV, that was a wild ARCA race. Excellent race.
Yeah, over at Salem this weekend. Just a historical racetrack for those guys. And obviously, you know, a big race on the ARCA schedule. Salem and Toledo are two really big tracks that they love to be at. And, of course, they just came off of the fairgrounds last weekend. So just a cool schedule on the ARCA side. And sounds like it was a barn burner down there.
Sure. Was what that track's got tons of character, tons and tons of it. Tires were at a premium. It was great hearing Bob Dillner along with Jim Trado, and on pit road, Mike Wallace was down on pit road. Pretty
really?
Cool. Yeah, good broadcast team.
That's awesome. That's on MAV TV, they're gonna do, you know, all the ones that aren't on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing that they've done for the past couple of years on the United States side, but more and more people are getting MAV TV here in Canada, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, it sure is. I've been checking it out, watching it every now and then, trying to, you know, pick up on stuff. I love the live ARCA stuff. Just dynamite today. That was welcome, some real welcome racing over the weekend. I love Richmond, but I'll tell you that the Xfinity race, which I didn't see, I know you watched it.
Yep.
I got the Cup race, and I don't know, man. It was exciting near the end. You had three cars going for the lead and for the win for a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was, you know, it's a typical 400-lap race.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't do it all in, you know, the first 25 laps. You got to save the car until the end.
Yeah, no, 100%. And when you look at the Richmond race this past weekend, both of them, they had their bright spots. It's not a short track, though, right? They call it a short track.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not a one-mile racetrack, right? It's
right.
a three-quarter-mile racetrack, though. And really, when you look at the size compared to a Martinsville or a Bristol or a Salem, for that matter.
Right.
That's short track racing. And for them to call Richmond a short track, it's a stretch, right?
It's
just like calling Phoenix, because it races similar to a short track. And really, those two racetracks are not short tracks in any way, shape, or form. They're a lot bigger than, you know, a tight quartered short track. You do have room to get away and to stretch out a lead and really to stretch out your position. So, it was a good race, though.
Yeah, it was. Near the end there, it really, really picked up. Kind of nice to see. Kyle Busch had a great race. Started, 32nd, and made it all the way up to the lead of the race and ultimately ended up winning it. Good day for Kyle Busch. We got lots of clips we're going to hear a little bit later in the show, but let me tell you who we got coming up tonight. We got a dandy lineup. We're going to talk Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Some more tonight. We've got some more previewing to do. Of course, we got our opening broadcast race coming up May the 26th from Scotia Speed World. It will be race number 2 for the Parts for Trucks Tour, but it'll be our first broadcast race of the year, live flag to flag. And with that in mind, we're going to hear from Dylan Blankhorn tonight, driver of the 67. He's the current IWK 250 winner. Won it just last year. We'll also talk to Donald Chisholm, driver of the 89. Not sure what the 89 is going to be up to this year. Yes, Donald's going to be behind the wheel, but will he be behind the wheel full time? We're going to find out tonight. We'll also talk some ARCA. We've got Natalie Decker going to join us. She's one of the hottest drivers in all of ARCA. She's making lots of waves. She didn't have a real good day today, but Natalie is going to join us tonight on the show in hour number two. I'm looking forward to hearing from Natalie.
Yeah, absolutely. Natalie's taken the conventional short track ladder and really made the most of it. You know, it wasn't just a few years back. Her and her sisters were actually racing at New Smyrna, you know, for the World Series. And we've watched her kind of move through the ranks. And really, they're connected with Venturini Motorsports and Billy and the team over there have really, you know, kind of kicked off her season in ARCA. There's lots of stuff coming down the pipeline, and she's been turning lots of heads for sure. Just a personality, and then also a very competitive driver, and looking forward to catching up with Natalie.
Yeah, we've also reached out to the winner of today's ARCA race, Christian X, and we're going to try and get him. Driver in the number 15. It was a great day for Venturini. Man, run a 1-2, and the 20 car... I feel real bad for him. Chandler Smith? Yeah.
Yep.
Chandler, doing a great job. That 20 car, him and the 15 kept passing the lead back and forth all day. Closing laps, I think it was like 6 to go, 4 or 5, something like that to go. 20 car right on the back of the 15, hauled the mail down into one of the turns, and something broke in that 20 car, and he just nailed the fence. Hopefully he's okay. There was talk at the end of the broadcast on MAV TV that, in fact, they did transport that driver to the hospital for observation. So hopefully everything's okay there, and maybe we'll be able to get an update as we move through the night. But, man, oh, man, what a barn burner of a race.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, when you look at a number of the tracks that ARCA goes to, that are NASCAR-sanctioned, larger tracks, they usually have a medical staff, and they also have an infield care center, set up on site at the facility. A track like Salem doesn't have that, right?
So, no.
You know, a lot of the times they're evaluated in the infield care center at a place like Daytona or Pocono or any of those bigger tracks. They're evaluated right there and deemed okay or not.
Right.
It's not an unheard of thing for, you know, at the shorter tracks. If you do take a big hit, it's good to go and get checked out. So definitely thinking of them, and hopefully everything's good there.
Yeah, we'll check in a little bit later in the show and see if we can get an update there. But we'll definitely be talking lots about racing here tonight. So if you just joined us, welcome aboard. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior, and we are going to get off to the hotline and welcome in our first guest of the evening. This driver comes to us all the way from Nova Scotia. He drives the number 67 out there for Blankhorn Recyclers. Of course, I'm talking about Dylan Blankhorn, and he's on the hotline with us. Dylan, how you doing, man?
How you doing, guys? It's been a while. It's been a long winter.
Yeah, it sure has. Man, it sounds like you've been a busy guy. You got picked up a new business, did you? You're a new business owner?
Yeah, that's been, I guess, priority for, the last few months. Hopefully after this talk, I'll get into race mode and start getting the old racer ready, but I'm kind of... We're a little bit behind, I guess you could say, just because, we're kind of busy now throughout the day. So
so many irons in the fire, Dylan, and you got to take care of number one first, which is work. Then you get a chance to get out and do what you love doing. I can imagine, Dylan, you're going to make time for both.
Yeah, it's definitely, an expensive sport, so you got to worry about work first. But no, it's going good so far. Just kind of, when an opportunity came up, it was there for, I think, 15 years. It was previously Maxwell Service Center. Now it's Autorite Service Center. There's a great group of guys there. Good clientele. So it's been, so far, it's been really easy. But we're just going to try to grow the business a little bit. And hopefully it won't take up too much time. It's definitely going to take up a lot of time through the week, but hopefully we'll be able to get away on the weekends and you know, go enjoy yourself.
Yeah, good stuff. The 67 car, you got a great crew assembled. I know you're a hands-on guy, but you do have a lot of help with you, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. We definitely have a lot of help. I know Andrew Hicken there at King Racing, he helps us a ton every winter. You know, he does most of he does a lot of the hard work. So, you know, he gives us the car back and we finish it up. So we built a brand new car for this year. So we were kind of on the fence, honestly. You know, what our plans were for 2018. And then kind of we wrecked the car there late last year at Riverside. It was probably fixable, but I don't know. You never know when you put a clip on one of these cars what it's going to do. It was a really good car. We still have it at the shop there. We're going to keep it, but we decided to put together one last car. If we ever get it done, we'll show up at the first race. But we picked away a little bit at it today, and I don't know. We'll put a charge on here now. We got 3-4 weekends left, so.
Yeah,
it's gonna come pretty quick.
Yeah, it sure is.
It didn't last very long. So.
Dylan, we also seen some news kind of posted throughout the off season here that you're going to be sliding into the window of that Deluxe Race Team late model sportsman car for a number of races this season. How is that shaping up?
Yeah, that was really good. Actually, Craig's been pretty fortunate. Craig and Fetchers, he's been doing actually all the work. He got it, actually. He just put some pictures on their Facebook last week. It looked really good. I stopped in there once so far. You know, him, he's a really good guy to work with, actually. So I'm really, really pumped up. The deal kind of just came together, you know, late last year. I know you guys know I'll drive anything if it's there. But, no, that's going to be exciting. It's definitely going to be busy. I think the schedule, we're going to run probably 7 or 8 races, just the big races, you know, kind of promote, run Teddy and stuff. I love that racetrack. And Riverside, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. You know what, Dylan, you are the exact copy of, like, J.R. Fitzpatrick in Ontario. It's got to be Dylan Blankhorn on that East Coast. You guys are exactly the same, cut out of the same mold. Like you say, you'll race anything to get out there and compete, and you always do a dynamite job. And I can't wait to see you on the racetrack this year and whatever you get into. You came out of the legend cars. Ever get the urge to jump back into a legend car?
Yeah, I do. It's actually really, really competitive, I find, around the Maritimes anyway. I know we tried to go race down the States and stuff. It was kind of a whole different ball field. But, I'd like to. It's just, you got to cut it off somewhere. I mean, I find if you spread yourself too thin, you know, maybe the pro stock, you might spend less time in the pro stock or something like that. And it's just, I find the pro stock stuff, it's getting so competitive. It's a full-time job, I find, to win. I mean, obviously, we show up and we want to win, but just to be competitive now, there's a lot of people with a lot of talent, and, you know, they got the backing behind them. So, I mean, it makes for great race. I don't want to show up and, you know, be dominant all the time. It makes for great racing and stuff. But
yeah, it sure does.
Spend a lot more time, and, you know, I guess. I don't want to say back in the day, because I don't want to take away from any of that either, but it just definitely takes up a lot of time to be competitive nowadays.
Yeah, it does, and the competition goes up. Seems like guys are working on their cars longer, doing more homework, and you can see the proof of it on the racetrack. As fans, you know, the fans have got to be eating it up. The competition is that tough. Every time you guys go to a race, there's something definitely there to watch. Especially when that 67 car's in the field. With it being so late now, in preparations with the 67, have you got a paint scheme in mind? Do you know what it's going to look like this year?
I wish we should have spent more time. Honestly, I think they didn't have time to gear up anything. We're saying with the same paint scheme as last year. We don't have a mortar yet. That's the big thing, I guess. We're still waiting on a mortar. We're in. Yeah, we get. if I can keep going, but we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, a lot of work in a short period of time.
Yeah, and Craig's going to bring the sportsman car over you know, I have a top probably in a week or so. We actually just cleaned up the shop there. Usually in the wintertime, everything gets scattered everywhere. So anyway, we started thinking about May, so we cleaned the shop up. We got a spot open, Craig, if you're listening, for the sports and terrace, so we're ready to go.
Yeah, you'll be all set. Dylan, you've won at pretty well every racetrack that the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour races at. Is there any track that you haven't won on yet?
We've never won in 660. That's why we went up there to the 250, and it was kind of, them guys, you know, it's a whole different field up there, so I think we're going to go to that again and get that check mark off the list. It'd be cool to win all the 250s, too, right? All three of them. That'd be a big deal.
Yeah, get a triple crown. That would be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure. So we're going to spend on the weekend with Quinn Florin, they're on board again. Obviously, Tony, you know, he's a great guy, great family. So we're happy about that. And all the same crew guys. We have racing's fun, but, you know, the party afterwards is, I think what we show up for. So all the same guys, so it should be just as much fun.
Fun stuff. The party never stops when the Blankhorn guys roll in. That's the fun part.
It'd be fun.
Hey, when looking at the overall schedule this year, and there is a little bit of a mix up within the schedule, changed from 2017. Is there anything that goes into your favor or maybe against you? With the different schedule lineup with the Pro Stocks.
I think one thing in particular. I think the two shows at PEI now. I find the guys from the islands kind of have a little bit of an advantage. They'll be under the practice and stuff over there, but now we're going to show up to the place twice. So I think it kind of puts everyone else on an equal playing field. It's hard to show up at the place once, and it's kind of a fur. You can't practice and stuff. And the first race is going to be tough, but I think the second race should be really fun. We run decent there, but we're not going to Fredericton. It's as a racetrack, I don't like it, but I was, I'm a racer, so I want to get good there, and, obviously, I want to win the 250 up there, so it's going to hurt us a little bit. I think the tour, they do, it's obviously a big task to keep everyone happy, so I think they're doing a great job. Should be fun, I think, the schedule so far.
Yeah, you love the challenge. That's why you love that, going to 660, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great place. It's, the place is getting worn out now, so I don't know what, we just got to get up there, and, it's a four-hour drive for us, so it's tough. I think we're going to take some time off and, test a little bit more up there before the 250, maybe even go to a local show or two, so we'll get some more seat time up there for sure, because them guys, there's a few guys, I know King Racing guys, they got to figure out how to see, so. Maybe I'll call him and talk to Andrew a little bit more and see what they're doing, maybe.
He'll be pretty close to his chest, though, with those secrets at 660.
Yeah, I don't know. We're pretty open book, but, I think he must be hiding a little bit.
There's a couple of tents hiding up there in that brain of his.
Yeah, only last year there were three or four tents.
Fun stuff. Dylan, overall, kind of looking at the landscape and the drivers that are in there, and you mentioned the funding aspect of it. There's some really young talent with some decent sized funding in that series in Parts for Trucks, and really we're seeing a lot more travel out of the Pro Stock Tour guys than we have in the past 5 to 8 years. Just with the Butchers of the world and Nicholas Noggle and a bunch of the other guys as well going down to races like Oxford. You mentioned your time aspect, but are we going to see you guys kind of, pick up roots and travel a little bit, maybe to, a big show here in Ontario or even down south?
I'd love to someday.
Yeah.
It's the whole... I don't know. I've been asked that 100 times so far. Obviously, I think we can do it. You see the Butchers, they go up there, and obviously, they're almost winning races up there. So, Noggle, he's really good. So, I think we'd be a little bit behind the ball, just because, you know, they've have, you know, they've been racing there for a few years. I don't know. It's just, where do you find the time, right? Is the only thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
more
to
of
go, a... To go to, you almost have to get hooked up with someone, maybe. I know, we're pretty close with, like, the Van Doren crew there. You know, but it's just the time and money.
Absolutely.
I don't know, then the guys, too, right? It's a big commitment. You know, we ask to come into them now. I mean, you know, sometimes you leave on a Thursday or leave on a Friday, and we're not back till, I mean, everyone knows, we're not, you know, it's a whole weekend. It's a four-day commitment, you know, May till September, and it's just, it's hard to do it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough deal. Knowing you, Dylan, it would be one night sitting in the shop, you guys would take a notion to go do something, and that's how it would probably stem, more than a planned-out thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, years ago, I asked my father, I don't know, you know, 6 years ago, he told me we'd never run pro stock there. Too much time and money, but fortunately, you know.
You talked him into that one.
Yeah, fortunately, been able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just when you cross the border, it's just a whole different deal. But other, I mean, you saw Cash, that Andrew and them, they ran second, I think, today. So,
yeah.
I mean, I think they were quickest all week. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it sure is. They won the 50 lap yesterday, and yeah, you're right. Cassius ended up bringing the 13 home second today. So good race for those guys.
Yeah, and by the looks of it, I think he was the car to beat today. So hats off to them guys. I think it'd be like maybe what Butcher's doing. I think it'd be easier to maybe rent a car too if you want to do that. Dealing with some guys, and it's a shock because you got to remember we're still on a blue AFCO shock, right? Like a sealed shock down this way. And I know the tire deal is a little bit different. So, and I, you know, the shock, so, I mean, that's a whole different ball field. So, you know, it's just so many variables.
Right? Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go down and not be competitive.
Yeah, you'd want to roll in with a chance.
Or, if I mean, if anyone's listening, if anyone has some extra money, I will, I'll pilot the car around the racetrack if you want to give me a shot.
And you know what? That would be a really good idea. You would be a good guy to transplant into a seat, I can guarantee you.
Yeah, no, if you can get me in it. If you can get me in the seat, I'll drive it.
Yeah, no kidding. You'd drive anything. I know you would. Is this going to be the year, Dylan, that maybe you go after that championship? I know you do every year. Something's crazy will happen every time, but is this the year?
We've been some going off and close. It always seems we can't get past that petty race there. The 200. The tech shit always seems to get us. But I think we're not going to do anything different. Last year was just kind of left side weight deal. That's a whole different story, but. We're just going to, you know, keep doing what we're doing. Hopefully, we'll get past that race. I mean, I think the last 2 years, we went into that race with like a 50-point lead, two or three races to go. So, hopefully, we'll be in the same position, and we'll try to, either get the titanium out of the rear end or lean over to the right a little bit more.
Or you could just finish sixth in that one, Dylan. You can do that,
yeah.
You know.
That's
like,
a good idea.
Yeah, if you just finish sixth, like, I know if you're leading with five to go, it's going to be pretty tough to let off. But you can just pull up top and just wave by the top five if you need to.
It's tough to tell the race car driver to let parents know.
Yeah, and I think the Pro Stock Tour officials had sort of figured that one out, too. If you sort of pulled over and let somebody go by, even one car, they'd sort of pick up on, what the hell's Dylan doing?
Yeah.
We're just kidding with you.
Too funny, man. It's going to be a great year, Dylan. I know we are all charged up for the season and to get things underway. And it's welcome news to hear that you're going to be back behind the wheel of that 67 car, a brand new ride, and the season's ever so close now. This is all good news.
Yeah, brand new car. I mean, it takes a little bit of work to get them good, but we're going to spend some time at the racetrack, hopefully, here. Hopefully, the snow disappeared pretty quick. We snowmobiled a few times, but not as much as I'd like. But the snow's gone, so it's time to put the steering wheel on, strap the belts tight, and try it for another year, I guess.
Can't wait for it to begin, my friend. This has been great catching up with you tonight. You'll be back at work tomorrow morning, right? You got that business. You have to get right back to it so that you can get into that shop and get that 67 card done.
Yeah, it's really busy too. So, you know, that's it's hard to, when you're working all the time, it's definitely hard to get amped up about racing. But I think after tonight, after this conversation, I'll be back home working the car and maybe I'll see if I can get away for a few days, maybe this week, and get a good start on it.
good plan. That sounds awesome to all of us, buddy. Thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
You bet. That's Dylan Blankhorn, driver of the 67 in the Parts for Trucks Tour. That guy can fly, Junior.
More new iron.
Yeah, add another one, right?
More new. Yeah, if we created a little bit of a spreadsheet, there'd be a lot of new iron down the right-hand side of that column.
No kidding. It's going to be incredible. Our next guest is Donald Chisholm. We'll find out if
he'll have some different iron, too.
Do you bet? He's got a new car. What do you think? What do you think the chances are?
Well, he just built that one last year, right?
He gets a new car every year.
No, not every year. I bet $5. Let's do $5. I have no idea.
Okay.
But $5, he doesn't have a new car.
Okay.
But George has got some tricks up his sleeves, and they're changing some stuff.
I'll bet you he's got a new car.
All right.
And I don't know that for sure, but I'll bet.
This better not be an unfair bet. If I find out that you know, I'll be pissed.
Donald, $250. You tell him you got a new machine. Okay. We're going to hit this break, and Junior and I will be back in just a minute. We'll continue on here tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, everybody. This is Ray Dunlap from Speed. Make sure you tune in to Race Time Radio to see what's going on in the Camping World Trucks.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
Hello, I'm Bruce Selry, host of Moolala, Money Made Simple. My mission is to help you get a better handle on your money so you can live the life you want. Not an easy task, what with all the jargon out there and the pressure to cover the bills, save a little, and live a good life. So tune in for a fresh spin on money. We'll talk about saving, spending, investing, organizing, and taking action so you can afford more of what you love. Moolala, Money Made Simple, every weekend on Canada Talks, Channel 167, Sirius XM.
Race Time Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to $100,000 from $800,000 or $700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks. Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Plus
side up, Jimmy Johnson's flowing the race leader off two!
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the Sirius XM app.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo!
Shake and bake!
Here on Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here on SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks. And hello to everybody out there at the Performance Motorsport Network.com and, yeah, you too at Gearhead Country Radio. Let's get back to the hotline, Junior, and we will find out who wins this next $5.
Yeah, like it's a $5 bet.
Got to welcome in the 2015 Parts for Truck Series champion and an IWK 250 winner as well. We got Donald Chisholm on the hotline, driver of the number 89. What's going on tonight out there, Mr. Donald?
Hey, guys. Not too much. Just winding down the weekend, having a chat with you guys this evening. So
We've got $5 on the line here, Donald Chisholm.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So we've talked to a lot of guys over the past, I'm going to say, what, 6 weeks?
Six weeks.
You know, from the Parts for Trucks tour. And it seems like everybody that we talked to has got some new iron in the shop. And Dad here has $5 saying that you've got a brand new race car sitting in the shop, and I've got $5 saying you don't.
I think the old guy's going to win this bet.
Look at this. That was... Yeah! Inside.
$5.
That inside information. You guys talked before. That's not fair.
Yeah, no. He had the inside scoop.
I did have the inside scoop?
I didn't have the inside scoop on that. No,
look
you
at
never
this.
Told me. Well, maybe you did. Maybe okay. But you're gonna
I'll still pay up.
I'm still gonna give you $250 when we get out there, buddy.
That's a Tim Hortons coffee for Donald Chisholm.
That's cool. So brand new race car in the shop. What do you got this year?
Same chassis, still a Port City chassis. We've sort of use those guys exclusively now for quite a few years and have had pretty good luck with them and good relationship with Harley there, and he keeps us up to speed on, you know, new stuff and what to try. So put another one of his cars together this winter, and it's just about ready to go.
Yeah, you gotta love it when a plan comes together. Is there much difference, Donald, when you stand back and look at the chassis one to the other? Does it look like there's any difference to them?
Not a lot. Slightly different front end on the newest car, a little different spindle, but basically the same as what we've been working with the last few years. We'll run the same bump stop package, I think, that that's worked for us in years past, and at least start there with the new car.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And, you know, when I look back over... You know, the time that I've known you, the last 10 years and watching with the 89 car and to see what you guys have done, pretty amazing. When you get a new car and it's, you know, it's pretty historic that you guys do pick up a new car. There's been a few years where you didn't. You carried the last one over. But when you do get that new car, sometimes it takes a little more testing to get it. And then other times you bring it out of the box and boom, away you go. You pick up exactly where you left off, only a little bit quicker. And I guess that's what you guys would be hoping for this year.
Yeah, and I guess we've had it work out both ways. You know, new car and have it fast and run real well right out of the box. And then, like you say, other years you struggle a little bit. And, you know, what worked on your last car may not work on the new car, so you know you have to be a bit open-minded. Certainly that's where the early season testing helps a lot, because how the car has to feel, and you just try to make it as good as last year's car and hopefully better.
Yeah, and it's going to be different this year too, right? The Pro Stock Tour schedule is a little different this year than it has been over the last few years. You're not going to start out at Scotia Speed World this year. You're going to start out at Petty. Does that make any difference in the mindset to the 89 bunch?
Not really, no. I guess it just probably, you know, more likely to try and get up to Petty to test early in the year when the weather starts to cooperate. Typically, we would have done that at Scotia, but because it's the season opener at Petty, we'll probably try and get up and do some testing there. yeah, the schedule is a little different there this year, certainly. I think we've always started year out and finished it in Halifax, but anyway, I think they changed it up this year to try and eliminate like a five race stretch there of back-to-back weekends. So it should make it a little better to break the season up a little more than it has been.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, right? Like that part of the schedule is grueling. It's funny when you talk to racers. They want to race. They want to race as much as they possibly can. But in the same regard, you got to be careful if you get too many races packed back to back. And sometimes, you know, weather can play a factor in that and stack up more than originally intended. And before you know it, you got every single weekend if you have any kind of car trouble. Or how about work gets in the way? It can really make for a tough, tough, grueling season. And nobody really wants that, but in the same respect, everybody wants to race as much as they can, right?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, those five weekends in a row, that gets tough, especially if you're struggling a bit or, you know, have a bad wreck one of those weekends. It doesn't take long to get behind and tough to catch back up after those long stretches. But, you know, I think everybody will like the new schedule with just not having that brutal five race stretch anymore.
Absolutely. Looking at, kind of touching on our original, you know, comment off the top about all the new iron in the series, you obviously have your ear to the grindstone all season long. Do you notice a big difference heading into this year? I feel that there's a lot more emphasis on changing and having, you know, different ideas and different pieces of equipment in the shop this year, more so than in years past.
Yeah, no, it seems like for whatever reason, there's quite a few new cars around this year. You know, I can think of a few right off the top of my head. So, you know, it's good to see it. You know, obviously, if guys are into new cars, they're in it for the long haul. So, you know, car counts have been good. And, you know, some guys have gone quite a while without a new car. And so you're seeing some of that getting updated. And, you know, with these newer setups, it all seems to be, you know, bump stops and shims and packers. So I think guys are starting to, you know, incorporate some of that suspension ideas into their new chassis that just wasn't as easy to do on some of the older cars.
And one thing, too, in the Parts for Trucks series, it seems like it's the most diverse on the chassis builder side as well. Like when you look at, you know, here in Ontario in the APC series, a solid percentage of the cars that race in there are McCall cars. If you look at the Cars Tour, a solid percentage is Hampke and Fury. In the Parts for Trucks Tour, it seems like everybody that we talk to is hooked up with a different builder, or there's, you know, a few under one builder, and then there's a few under another, and then there's a few under another one. But really, like, when you look at the Parts for Trucks Tour, we've, you know, over the past 7 weeks, we've talked to guys that are partnered up with Van Dorn, partnered up with Fury, partnered up with Port City, even a couple from right there in the Maritimes. And then as well, you know, we've got some Crook stuff and some Hampke stuff as well. So really, it's incredible to see the diversity, you know, and I think all late model series have a certain amount of diversity on the manufacturer side, but really, I think this is the most diverse, and all those chassis builders have to be taking note of that.
Yeah, no, I guess I never really thought of it, but as you know, you're right, there's quite a different cross-section of chassis manufacturers represented for sure. You know, there's almost everything is represented to some level. Quite a few cars from Distance Chassis in Maine, like you said, Van Dorn, Port City, Hampke, you know, then there's the Dean Clattenburg. He's got a couple of chassis up this way. So, yeah, well, lots of different manufacturers well represented. The other side of it, too, is there's no clearly dominant chassis, I don't think. So it shows that, you know, if you get them set up right, all of them will work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the mix of the built engine, crate engine too. That also is there's a good mix of those too.
Yeah, it seems to be a little more heavily favored to the crate engines overall. There is still a few guys. I think the Zero Turbo and the 29 both are still open motors, but and we have one. We just don't tend to run it a whole lot, so. Seems like the crate motor has just been a little better package for guys, but there's still a few built motors out there. And again, I think it shows that both package works. Some weight differences, obviously, from the open to the crate motor, but the rule must be relatively close to correct because it's not completely dominant either open or crate motors.
Absolutely. There's the diversity side, but there's also the competition level, and arguably the competition level in the Parts for Trucks Tour is there. It's on point, right? Donald, yeah. We seen you last year load up the hauler for the final Pinty Series race over at Jucasa, and we also seen you out there playing around in one of the late model cars. Do we see you again this year with that big show?
Not sure about the late model. The weekend there's a conflict of some sort there, but I'd certainly like, the plan is to get back to Jucasa with the Pinty's car and possibly try and do Loudon as well. So yeah, I think we'll get back to Jucasa, but just probably not in the late model.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that'd be wild, right? You guys get down to Loudon. That would be, I know you've been at that racetrack, or at least I believe you've been at that racetrack for the Cup race. So yeah. You've watched races there. It'd be kind of cool to get out there in a Pindy's car. You'd fly around there.
Yeah, no, for sure. Just kind of an opportunity to try a mile track. And been to a few Cup races there over the years. I've never raced there. But those big tracks are fun, and it's just sort of something new and unique. So the plan is to try and, do the Pinty's race, obviously, in Antigonish, and then Loudon and Jucasa at the end of September.
You're going to be a busy guy this summer, I can guarantee you, Donald Chisholm. This is going to be a busy schedule for you this year. How are the plans coming? Do you think you're going to be able to do the whole series this year in the Parts for Trucks Tour? How are the plans coming for that? Or are they still being in the planning process?
Well, we're, sort of certainly getting closer to having a plan. We won't be doing them all. Just time commitments and three kids and all that stuff that goes with it. So it's tough for us to commit to the whole season. But I think you'll see us at a good percentage of the races. And my daughter Emily, actually, this year we put a Bandolero car together, so she wants to try some Bandolero racing, which is at Scotia Speed World on Friday night. So when you take that into consideration, and then us having to be usually somewhere on a Saturday at a track, we're just going to see if we can fit it all together this year. But we'll go and see how she makes out, and if she is fun and it's going along well, maybe we'll do a bunch of them, and just got to get out there and see how it all plays out, I guess.
Oh, man, that's great news to hear. Emily's going to be behind the wheel. That's awesome. I bet you Kelly went, I don't know, and you probably had to go to bat for her, didn't you?
Yeah, no, Kelly wasn't too tough of a sell. I think she was pretty good with it. So, yeah, no, anxious to see how it's how that all goes. And of course, I've never been around those cars, and so it's all new to us too. So we're learning something new again. So see what happens, I guess.
And on the time side, you're going to need a teleportation device, you can get from place to place. By the sounds of it.
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. So if anyway, we'll play it by ear and certainly do as many as we can, and hopefully the new car works, and we don't have to spend half the season trying to get it figured out.
If you're just tuned in to Racetime Radio, welcome aboard. Right now, we're with Donald Chisholm, driver of the number 89 Nova Celtic Ford out on the east coast of Canada. He's in Antigonish, Nova Scotia, the home of Riverside International Speedway. Donald, got to ask you, seen our buddy George Koskulik had a birthday, turned 60 years old. How's old Georgie doing?
George is doing good. He's a busy guy this time of year. Obviously, he's working on the cars, and his fishing season is coming up at the 1st of May. So May and June are pretty busy months for him, for sure. But I think you'll see him in a car, you know, a couple, three times maybe. Obviously, the Riverside races, and I'm sure you'll see him a couple times maybe in Halifax as well. So, yeah, I think you'll see George drive a few more this year and sort of keep us going the rest of the time.
That's fantastic news. George may have turned 60, but he's going on 17. George is he's one of those guys. He's still got it, man. He can still win races. And what a guy to have in your corner. I know all of you guys work out really good with one another. To watch you in the pit area doing what you guys do is phenomenal to see.
Yeah, no, George is just a huge part of our race team. Just like I say, he keeps everything going, and he can still put on a pretty good show in a race car. So I know he's got quite a fan following, and especially at Riverside. So he's usually pretty entertaining to keep your eye on during a race.
Yeah, you want to keep your eye on the 88. He is phenomenal to watch. How about Paul McLean? How's he making out? I haven't seen him, of course. I'm here, you're there, and so is Paul. How's he doing?
Paul's good. I think he's maybe down south for the week doing some golfing. But, he'll be back on deck here soon. And, obviously the preparations are underway for the year at the Speedway. But Paul's heavy into renewals for campsites and, you know, the camping portion of the 250 weekend. So, box office will open later in May and back at it for another year.
Yeah, tremendous stuff. Ron McGilvery, Chevy, Buick GMC 150 is going to kick the season off at Riverside International Speedway. And that's going to be another outstanding race. We had a lot of fun at that one last year. I can't remember. Did you win that one last year?
No, we didn't. We struggled a bit. I just forget where we finished. wasn't great, I don't think.
No.
We did win the season ender there, though, the Lucas Oil 150.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Dylan Blankhorn won the season.
Yeah,
anyway,
that
I just forget.
That first one. I know they go together. I know you've got a couple of those Ron McGilvery 150 wins. It's always a tremendous race. Great way to kick off the season. The Sportsman Cars, another dynamite series going to roll through there. I'm really surprised you don't park your butt in one of those on the Friday night just to get a little more seat time in. I know you love racing.
Yeah, no, I've never, I've practiced the Sportsman a couple of times, but never ever raced one. So, you know, sometime the opportunity all came together, we might consider it. But, so far I haven't tried a Sportsman race.
Well, the preparations for the IWK 250 and the whole season, you guys got a lot on your plate, and the season is just about upon us, man. I can't wait to get fired off.
Yeah, no, it's coming in real quick now, so the weather's starting to feel a little bit more like spring, so I expect we'll be testing at the racetrack in the next week or so, trying to shake the rust off for the long winter.
Yeah, get that new car out and get that get a couple of laps on it. So the 89 from last year, where is it going to go, or is that going to be a backup, or did it find a new home?
That's right now. We went through it all, basically rebuilt it this winter. That's the car George will be driving when he drives this year. And then the car we had to Ontario, the late model we raced there last September, is the car that Kenny Wallace will drive for the 250.
Yeah, I was just going to say, not only are you prepping the number 89, and George will be getting the 88 ready, but we can't forget about Kenny Wallace coming in. You got to get his car ready too. It's got to be a bullet.
Yeah, no. So it's it's underway as well. It's not wrapped yet, obviously, but pretty well done to the point where it can be wrapped. And, you know, we do spend a bit of time with that car, testing it prior to, well, I guess this year prior to Kenny coming, but any year we try and get it ready early enough to get it around to a few car shows and events to get some signatures on the car itself prior to the event. And often it ends up at the IWK telethon during the weekend that's on. So yeah, lots to do and lots to get ready, and time is going by quickly, so to be here before we know it.
I feel that this interview is giving you anxiety about all the stuff that you have to do. I mean, a beer will fix it, but it seems like it's giving you anxiety. We should probably let you go.
Yeah, so I can go get back to work.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. It's the same every year. We've been doing it long enough now that we know the routine pretty well. So anyway, just keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully we can get a win or two this year, and love to grab another 250 win for sure. So that would make for a pretty special year.
Yeah, well, and that's the goal, right? But that's everybody's goal, Donald. Everybody wants to win the IWK 250, and we only end up with one winner a year in this July 14th. Trust me, race fans from everywhere don't want to miss the IWK 250. This is going to be outstanding this year with Kenny Wallace coming in. You got J.R. Fitzpatrick's going to make the trip from Ontario. We got a lot of cars coming from everywhere. To list them all would be... it would take up quite a bit of time, and I know there's still more entries coming in all the time, right?
Yeah, no, the race has been growing every year, and certainly that was the goal, is to try to have it be in one of the, you know, premier late model events to try and win anywhere. So it's nice to see that continues every year. You know, the camping just seems to grow a little bit every year as well, so turned into a fun weekend with the concert and Friday's events and Saturday's big show. So, you know, people have that weekend circled on their calendar for sure. And I guess, like anything, you just hope it continues to grow. And quite a contingent of cars I expect from Ontario this year. So again, that shows that there's interest in the racing world to try and get one of those trophies.
Yeah, it's a tough one to win. Every year, it's just amazing. Donald, this has been great catching up with you tonight, and really cool to hear Emily's going to get into a Bandolero. That is that's news that I did not know of, and that's going to be exciting stuff to go along with everything else that's happening. We're in for a special summer of 2018.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting for sure. So we just got to get up to speed in the Bandolero racing world now. So like I say, it's new to George and I, and we've never been around those cars, but she's anxious to try it, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I want to be there the day that George goes to test Emily's car. I want to see how that I got to see the shoehorn that you're going to use to put him in there.
Yeah, it would have to be a big shoehorn. I don't think there's any chance of that happening for sure.
Reminds me of when Joe Jr. was running his junior late model back when we had Sobel. We needed to get the car wasn't working right. Joe would bring it in and he'd say, "Dad, this thing isn't working right." So I'd take the motor out, take it down to Larry Wilson and get him to check the engine, bring it back. And we needed to test it, and I was always busy on a Saturday night, of course, with the track. Sure. So I think it was like a Thursday. Susie and I went to the racetrack. I said, "Sue, we only got one choice here. Joe's in school. I need this car tested. You're going to have to get in it and take it around the racetrack." And it was hilarious because she fit. She went right in, and she fit, and away we went. But, yeah.
My test driver, my mom.
Yeah,
good stuff. Yeah, you don't hear those stories terribly often.
No, well, tell Kelly that she's going to be Emily's backup test driver. When Emily's got to be in school, then it's Kelly's going to get that call, I can well imagine.
Yeah, we'll call her up for some testing duty, so she might like it, actually.
Yeah, that might, no, don't make that phone call, Donald. You'll have to get two of them. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Incredible stuff. It's been great catching up with you, bud.
All right, guys. Appreciate for having me on. Thanks.
You want to believe it. That's Donald Chisholm, driver of the 89 Nova Celtic Ford out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Sounds like they're over-busy, Junior. Over-busy.
Yeah. I'm still mad, though. That was insider trading.
It wasn't really. I didn't know.
It was insider trading.
I didn't remember that he was getting a new car.
I didn't remember. Yeah, let's see how that works in the court of law.
But it's worth
insider trading
five
right there.
Bucks.
It was worth $5.
$5, that's great.
That was a good return on investment right
you
there.
You know, when...
And never making a bet again.
You made a really good point there, too, with the diverse number of builders that are participating in that Parts for Trucks tour.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then mix in there, too, and it's well worth noting. You mix in drivers like, you know, we talked to Allison McKinnon. We talked to guys like Sean Pierce. Those are independent guys. They've got their own teams. They've been working on them, chipping away at it, and they're coming up through the results. They're not the powerhouse teams, but they still are competitive, and they still got a chance to win against some of these bigger teams.
Yeah.
The odds are stacked against them, but you know what? You can't tell those guys that because they keep moving up in the results, and it pays. So it's kind of cool to see.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And really, when you look at the overall landscape of all super, like, really, when you go to the Snowball Derby is the most diverse on the chassis builder side, right? The Snowball Derby, you walk in there, you see everything from homemade, you know, in-house cars to, you know, Grand American Race Cars, Hampke, Port City. You see them all. You see Fury Race Cars and you know, the list goes on and on of what you'll see there. But really, in the grand scheme of things, you don't see that diversity across the board on the chassis builder side like what you do in the Parts for Trucks Tour. Overall, I it's funny because the powerhouse teams that are hooked up with a chassis builder, you know, there's not just three or four of them. There's like 10 or 12 of them that are absolute whales of teams. And each one of them have a different chassis builder to rely on. But then they also have a massive resource to draw from guys who came out of the Parts for Trucks tour, you know, like the Crookses of the world and the list goes on and on about guys who have left the Parts for Trucks tour and moved maybe down into the NASCAR Cup Series or moved into the chassis building role like Dean Clattenburg and things like that. It's just so cool. Those chassis builders, though, they have to take note of that. And I think that they have, obviously, just simply by working with these guys. But it's definitely interesting. You know, I think you're seeing a little bit of a change in the APC series here in Ontario into that model.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you look at it, you've got guys like Brian McDonald who are making waves. Obviously, the powerhouse chassis builder here in Ontario is McCall. But you're seeing, you know, guys like Ryan Kimball. We talked to him last week. He's going to have a Fury car.
Yep.
You know, you've got Andrew Grizzell, and he's got a Port City car. And by the sounds of it, there's a Van Dorn car going to be showing up as well. So the diversity is there, but it's just barely notable compared to what you see in the Parts for Trucks tour. Is just phenomenal.
Yeah, pretty wild. Can't wait to see what hits the racetrack. And we're all in for a dynamite 2018 on that Parts for Trucks tour. Junior, we're getting dangerously close here to the top of the hour. We're going to throw it back to SiriusXM, get you up to date on some of the news and highlights that you missed. And we're going to be back with you for hour number two. Coming up in hour two, we got lots of clips coming from Richmond this weekend. We'll also hear from Natalie Decker in hour number two. So stay with us. We'll be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on SiriusXM, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing. The race leader off two.
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167. So glad you could tune in tonight. If you're tuned in on racetimeradio.com, welcome aboard. Don't forget, if you happen to have missed any of the show and you want to go back and listen to the whole thing again, you can do that. We're available now on iTunes, on FM Player. You can tune in on tunein.com. You can also pick it up on racetimeradio.com. Or you can make sure that you don't miss us next week, next Sunday night, right here on Racetime Radio. And you won't miss a thing. But I digress. Junior, hour two begins. We're going to talk ARCA a little bit later with Natalie Decker. She's hooked up with Venturini Motorsports. Didn't have a real good day today. Finished up 15th in the number 25 car. She got tied up in an early wreck. I know you missed the race, but she got tied up in an early wreck, and it sort of ruined her day.
Yeah, definitely a tough deal. I believe it was with Travis Braden. Just a tough set of circumstances, but she's definitely made headway this year, and she's definitely made some, made some awesome moves into the beginning portion of this year in the ARCA series, and turning some heads. So it'll be interesting to catch up with her, and kind of see what the season holds for the Decker camp.
Absolutely. You know what? We got some time here. Why don't we open the phone lines now? We can do that. We'll open the phone lines up. If you got any comments from over the weekend, you want to talk about anything that's on your mind race-related, give us a call tonight, 888-572-2384. The number again, 888-572-2384. And we'll get you on the air here with Junior and I. Richmond, quite a race weekend, Junior. It was the first night race under the lights on Saturday night for the Cup Series, but we'll start with Xfinity. Pretty good run. We've been keeping our eye on all season long on Alex Labbe, driver of the number 36, one of our Canadian contingents that's running the full Xfinity season, and pretty good run for Alex Labbe. Again, finishes up with the top 15. Where did it
16th. Yeah. 16th. So another top 20, though.
Another top 20,
And really making some waves down there. This last little short track stint has been incredible for them. And really, they turned a corner after they got back from the West Coast, with the Xfinity Series. And we've seen a great run at Bristol and backed it up again with a top 20 at Richmond with a lot less carnage in the race. Mm-hmm. So finishing up front is a great plus, a great feather in the cap. We've seen that second team kind of go through a transition. Of course, Mario Gosselin heading it up. They had Brandon Brown in the car in the number 90, which is a teammate to Alex. And, we've seen a couple of different drivers in that throughout the year. So
Josh Williams comes to mind.
Josh Williams has been in a couple of races. And, a great showing for them, and hats off to them. And then as well, a guy who really turned heads is a guy that's going to show up here at Victoria Speed Fest, and that's Noah Gregson. Of course, coming home in the top five, it was a second-place finish, but running inside the top three all night long, and really in a Gibbs car, the same car that won with Ryan Preece, behind the wheel at Bristol. But awesome showing for Noah Gregson, and a good job on him.
Oddly, you say that. I have a quick clip here from Noah as he was in the media center. That was his Xfinity debut. So
yes.
Good run for him. Here is what Noah had to say when he jumped out of the car and headed off to the media center.
Yeah, just kind of, I don't know, it's great to finish second in my first race, but I want to definitely win there at the end. Really close on Christopher, but I just couldn't hold myself to to beating them up too badly in the corner, roughing them up too hard, maybe a little bump, but just came up a little short there, but just thankful for the opportunity.
Yeah, it was Christopher Bell going to victory lane, but good for Noah, right? He's really had lots of competitive rides. He's made the best of it each time he gets in. He's got a bright future, that young star.
Absolutely, and they've got a tremendous amount of funding behind them with the Switch and Toyota really breaking into the development role in the Toyota camp is difficult to do, and he's making it happen. He's doing a wonderful job for KBM, and really we've seen him pick up his first victory at Martinsville in the trucks, but we're gonna see him standing in victory lane a lot more. He's got a lot of great people in his camp. A guy that really stands out is Brandon McReynolds, who works with the Gregsons as a driver coach, and seeing what they've put together, they've done some amazing things. Obviously Christopher Bell, that's a whole nother story. This kid is a phenom, and we're going to see him stand in victory lane a lot as well.
Well, Christopher Bell ends up getting his second win of the year. Here's what Christopher had to say.
Yeah, obviously this is a very important race for Toyota, the whole Toyota Racing Development and Toyota Motorsports or Motor Sales family. So thankfully we had a really good Camry. All of JGR's cars have been really fast for the last couple weeks now, and it's really shown. They had JGR as a company, could have ran 1-2-3 at Bristol and should have ran 1-2 with Brandon Jones and Ryan Preece last week. And then they did run 1-2 with myself and Noah this week. So that says a lot about the guys at the shop building really fast race cars. And thankfully, I'm the guy that gets to drive one of them.
Yeah, and Christopher Bell, he was one of those guys that ran a Pindy's race up here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've seen him up here.
Yep. Just getting his feet wet on the road courses when he was in the truck series. But, just you can't say enough about the talent that Toyota is providing right now, seats for. Christopher Bell, obviously Noah Gregson. When you look down through the ranks, they're even funding some guys in the ARCA series, and as well developing some guys in the late model ranks through the Kyle Busch Motorsports platform. So, and of course, TRD is growing significantly dirt.
Yeah. Big time.
You've seen a guy like Kyle Larson come through the ranks, on the TRD back a little bit, and obviously went down the Chevy path. But I think Toyota really took note of that, and you're seeing a bunch of young drivers that are kind of in the TRD camp, racing USAC cars and racing midgets and getting growing across the southern United States and even mainly in California. So we've got a tremendous amount of Toyota talent that's going to be coming through, and all of the manufacturers, I don't think it's any surprise for anybody to say this, but all of the manufacturers need to take note because really what TRD is doing is groundbreaking.
Yeah, it is. And they've been doing it a long time and really working on their program, and it's really starting to be fruitful now. Let's get to the hotline and we'll welcome in. Let me see. Oh, look at this. It's Kent out on that East Coast. What's going on, buddy?
Not much, boys.
Do you have a good weekend?
Racing, got a good weekend to get her started.
Yeah, King Racing did, right? They a 50-lap win yesterday for Cassius, and then he backs it up today with a second-place finish.
Yep. Strong.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be real strong. I know you're a big 13 fan.
Well, the hometown car, right?
That's right.
So, but what do you think with the NASCAR race? Are they missing something by not having more races on Saturday night? Does that go back to the roots, or is race cars just look nicer underneath the lights on Saturday night?
It does. I agree with you wholeheartedly. They look really cool under the lights. You get a different perspective, I believe. I don't know. They look like they're going quicker, but Kent, I think NASCAR would really be doing something if they did put more races on a Saturday night. But you got to remember, when the short tracks are running, they're normally running on a Saturday night. And I know from being in a room of, I don't know how many short tracks there were at the RPM conventions back in the day, But when NASCAR started talking about going under the lights on a Saturday, the whole room lit up, and it wasn't a good thing. They were all sort of negatively looking at NASCAR saying, look, don't do that. You're going to start taking away our fans from the short track level. Don't do that. Keep your races on Sunday, and we can all be, you know, stay friends.
Like I say, I can see that, and it's a heck of a lot more, be a lot more work for schedule makers to try to pick when the majority of your local tracks throughout the summer.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that have weekly programs, right?
Exactly.
And the few that they have, like the Saturday night race there at Bristol and a few of the other ones, it just seems like it's a different atmosphere.
I agree, wholeheartedly. It is a different atmosphere for sure. Did you enjoy the race that we seen last night?
Well, I'd say it was probably one of the better ones that I've seen so far this season as far as enjoyment value. But I think that under the light thing, I think that goes back even to your local short tracks. Like, when we get to race Saturday night under the lights, or even Friday night, as per se in some series.
Yeah.
But if you get a rain out and you get pushed to Sunday afternoon, it's just not the same, right?
No, it's not. It really screws things up when you get rained out on Saturday night and you got to go Sunday. Rain dates, Junior, never work.
No, rain dates are definitely tough, and there's a place for them. But I will say this about that. If you schedule a late model race or you schedule a local race for a Sunday afternoon, those are some different feels than what you get on a Friday afternoon or a Friday night or a Saturday night. Do you agree with me with that? Like, one race that really stands out for me is the Great Canadian 200 at Delaware, the way that it used to be. And that was always on a Sunday afternoon in the fall. And that race stands out to me. A daytime race is something that we don't get to see a whole lot of on the late model side.
Yeah, like I say, I remember back, going back to a comment that you were making last week about the Pass North Series first trip up north of the border. But the first years after the Riverside reopened, before they switched back to what is now the IWK 250, they ran that Pass North 250, the Fall 4 Leech. And we had, I can remember a rain out going to Sunday afternoon, but you take Sunday afternoon in the Maritimes in late September, and it was pretty cool, and they made just as much horsepower and put on one heck of a show with all those cars from Pass North, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And, looking forward to seeing what they can do over at Petty. That's exciting right there, all in itself.
Yeah, and we're still going to stay tuned in and keep praying, I see the Jacusa boys took note of our conversation on Twitter there, Joe, so hopefully they'll... enough fans will call in throughout the summer that they can say, well, you know, this is viable. Let's go.
Yeah, and you know what, Kent? We appreciate the comment. I really do. Hopefully it's in the cards. If it is, I can guarantee you, if we get the call, we'll definitely be there to bring it to everybody.
It's going to be one heck of a show.
It sure is. It sure is. It's going to be one for everybody to be at, but it'd be kind of cool if people that weren't there were able to tune in as well. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, okay. Talk to you later, boys.
You want to believe it. That's Kent on the east coast of Canada. The 13 car is one of his favorites. He gets a real good start this weekend. Cassius Clark goes out there and really does a good job.
Yeah, definitely. And, going back to the comment from earlier, he was the class of the field up there.
Sure. Yeah,
looking
he was.
The overall speed of the 13 camp, they didn't back into a win on the 50 lapper and then a second place.
They went right after it. Incredible. We're going to hit a quick break here. We will be back. We still got more Xfinity to cover off, and we, of course, going to talk some Cup as well. How about even Rowdy from Days of Thunder? Got a little clip from him. He was at the Richmond race. We'll spin that in a whole pile more when we come back. Stay with us.
Don't know I'm down here. Must be something I said.
Hi, this is Adam West from Ridgetown, Ontario, driver of Southern Ontario Sprints number 30, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks. Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
We've got the latest in gadgets, the coolest apps, and some weird ones, too. Plus, we'll keep you up to date with the hottest online trends.
With some of the world's top entrepreneurs and tech experts joining us from around the world for a look at innovation and how technology can make our lives easier.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B will keep you socially speaking on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and beyond.
Catch us on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmie Johnson's flowing! The race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. Got the need for speed.
They're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Racetime Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We sure do appreciate it here on SiriusXM Channel 167 Canada Talks. Junior, going back to the Xfinity race, we got to hear from, how about Elliott Sadler? He picked up another $100,000 bonus. He was the Dash for Cash winner this time at Richmond. Pretty good race for him.
Yeah, definitely a big showing for really all of Junior Motorsports, but he seemed like he had a shot at winning that race all the way through and ended up coming out victorious, of course, with the Dash for Cash. And the Xfinity Series, what a great thing for Xfinity to do.
Oh, man.
You know, it is for the regulars. It does add a lot of emphasis throughout the race, and it's no joke. $100,000 is a lot of money. Especially to those guys in the Xfinity Series. And hats off to him.
Yeah, here's what he had to say after winning the big 100K.
Okay, first of all, it's so good running here at my home track at home. And all I could think about when we were up front and, you know, taking the lead and winning the stage would be how great would it finally be to pull one off here. And we just got a little bit too tight there at the end, and obviously – Bell and Gregson made really good adjustments to their cars, and we just kind of lost the track a little bit. And never felt this way finishing third before. Definitely never felt this way winning $100,000, which is a lot of money to an Xfinity driver and to a team, and means a lot to me and my family to be a part of the Dash for Cash. And thanks to Xfinity and Peter and Matt and everybody do so much to activate our series for their teams and the drivers and everything they can do. And it was fun racing at my home track for $100,000. And we're pretty decent at Talladega, too, so it's pretty good to be able to go down there and try for it again.
Yeah, big race coming up, Talladega. This one I always look forward to on the schedule. Watching Xfinity Trucks or Cup on Talladega is always something
or
special.
Or Arca.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love Talladega. Talladega is my jam. I've been there a couple times. you know, to the racetrack itself. I like it on TV the most.
Do you?
And I hate saying that as a media guy. I you know, I want somebody to go and experience the race. And if you have not experienced a Talladega race in person, you need to. Yeah. And the party is definitely, you know, second to none. I know I always talk about the parties and stuff that you see at a place like Watkins Glen or, you know, Michigan, you know, or even the infield at California is really cool. The infield at Talladega is worth its weight in gold. And it's just a lot of fun. And then as well, the atmosphere at that place is when you see, you know, a transport truck coming with an American flag that's, you know, like 25 feet long or however big it is. It's huge.
Yeah.
But come through the tri-oval at like 115 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and the fighter jets flying over top. It is, you know, a redneck's dream to be there. It is cool.
What is the difference between Talladega and Daytona? I know there's
about 25 beers and about 150 miles. That's about it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Does it feel like you're at Daytona when you're at Talladega?
No, that's not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
No, not even.
Feels totally different.
Yeah, it's just redneck palooza. and I'm not saying it in a bad way. It's really cool. When you go to Daytona, it is more about the, I would say, class and the elegance of business, and you know, you have that redneck atmosphere a little bit.
Right.
You know, beer drinking up in the stands underneath the hot sun. You have that. You have that at every NASCAR race. When you roll into Talladega, you know, when you turn in off the road itself, if it rains on, you know, Thursday all the way through to Sunday, if it rains any one of those days, the campgrounds are all on the outside. And, you know, there's a huge campground on the infield as well, but nothing is paved. So everything is just mud, and it's red mud. Dusty, you know, it's not a prim and proper facility
right,
at
right.
all. It's got that old school feel to it. You know, it has the amenities of a major sporting stadium,
right.
You know, when you get in there. But really it's the purpose is speed when you roll in there. That's the only thing that there is, speed and a good time. And really they do it right. Talladega is cool and there's no two ways around it.
The sight lines. I know you were in the garage area all the time when you were down there.
I was in the grandstands too.
I had to go up there.
To be honest with you, the sight lines at a place like Daytona from back in the day were better. You know, now at Daytona, I would say that now the sight lines at Talladega are better than Daytona.
Really?
Just simply because you've got that, you know, massive tower on the infield of Daytona that really clogs up, you know, what you can see on the back straightaway from different views. Obviously, the spotter stand and the press boxes and the tops of the grandstands are all good. You can see everywhere at Daytona. But really, overall, what you can see at Talladega is there's a lot of trees that you have to look through and stuff like that down the back straightaway. And there are some obstructions from, you know, a majority of the grandstand seats. But really, you can see 90% of the racetrack, which
really?
Is cool. Yeah, it's a really neat racetrack. And really, you know, when they come by you, the banking is so steep in the tri-oval. You know, you can't really see the cars when they're right in front of you.
Right, they're down
in a hole, and you know, there's no way that you can look around the wall. So really, when they're right in front of you, you can't see. But the atmosphere, and you hear MRN, and you hear, you know, all the different parts of what a Talladega race is, you got to go experience it.
Well, this past weekend at Richmond, Days of Thunder is something that always pops into my mind when I think of Super Speedway racing.
Absolutely.
Daytona, Talladega, and Days of Thunder always pops into my mind. And this past weekend at Richmond, Rowdy was actually at Richmond. It's Michael Rucker.
Yep.
Rucker, and they had him in the media center for a little bit. And they got some comments from Michael. Here's what he had to say about Days of Thunder and relevant stuff. Have a listen.
There are a lot of fans of Days of Thunder. I get fans everywhere I go. I do a few of these conventions, you know, these comic conventions and stuff like that. And the fans show up in droves. And I get a lot of Days of Thunder fans out there, man. They're still there, baby. They're still there. They come up and they're rowdy, rowdy. And I'm like, that movie is like 25 years old, dude. He said, no, I still watch it. So, yeah, they're still here. But, no, it was a beautiful learning experience. I mean, everyone on that show was just so much fun, man. We had a blast doing that. I'm meeting a lot of the drivers back then, a lot of the, you know, Dale Earnhardt, and all these guys were just, they were there for us. I don't know if they were, I don't think they got paid for it, but they were free and open and gave us all kinds of advice. You know, I wasn't privy to a lot of the behind closed doors conversations with NASCAR or anything like that. But when we got on the track, the drivers were very open and honest and exhilarating. It was a beautiful experience for me.
Pretty cool that he was out at the race. And if you caught the broadcast at all, I seen Michael on his grid walk.
Yep.
He was standing there talking to him for a minute, and kind of cool to see all Rowdy out there.
Yeah, definitely really cool. And they've got to make a Days of Thunder 2, don't they?
Wouldn't that be cool?
Isn't it time?
Yeah.
Like, I just hope that when they do it, they keep it, you know, the way that Days of Thunder feels.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it doesn't go. And if they ever do remake it, they have to, right?
Yeah. Well, when you were down at Charlotte, I remember you texting back, you won't believe what I just seen. It was the barn from Days of Thunder.
Yeah, well, that's right in just on the outskirts of Mooresville. And it's still there. You can still see it. Now, it's even more dilapidated than what it looked like in the movie now. But you can still check it out. The old, you know, barn that Harry Hogg built that City Chevrolet in is still there.
Isn't that?
It's definitely cool.
Incredible. Let's get to some of the results. We'll hear from some of the race teams here. Let's hear from Coach Gibbs first. He was real happy. Three in a row for his M&M's Toyota. Here is Coach Gibbs and what he had to say.
Yeah, I just really want to thank everybody on the race team. Adam leading the show there. He and Kyle have a great chemistry, and I think it's showing. Kyle's, you know, I don't know. We've had a run like this of the last 7-8 races, and just really it was a total team effort tonight. Not sure I've ever been to a race where we had four of our cars kind of start off where I thought we were going to have a tough night, and they just all kept working, and I think they all finished. Eric finished 13th and Daniel 10th, and then we had Denny 3rd, and then, of course, to get Kyle a win. It was really a great night for, and shows that our guys just hard work, pit crews, took everybody. I want to thank everybody back at the race shop, JD, and everybody back home, and we love coming to Richmond. I mean, it's just a great place for me personally because it's so close to Redskin Park. And then it's just great. We have a great fan base here. Everybody out there at the end cheering, and just a special night for us.
There is one happy owner right there, and Coach Gibbs. Good to see that they're having success once again.
Oh, they're having big success. Those cars were rockets. Really, when you look down what Gibbs is putting together on the racetrack, they're the new Hendrick.
Yeah,
and there's no two ways around it. They're just they are the mega team right now, and everything is definitely going in their direction. One guy that I am really shocked at out of that camp that, you know, is not performing the way that I thought he would is Eric Jones.
Eric, yeah,
and
just give
it's
them
tough
time
to watch.
Give
oh
them
no,
time.
I agree. You have to give them time, and yeah. I think really you have to give time to Alex Bowman. You have to give time to William Byron over on the Hendrick side, and you also have to give time to Eric Jones. But I honestly felt that, you know, the way that he ran in the 77, the second car for Furniture Row, you know, I thought for sure inputting him into that 20 camp would just
ignite. Yep.
And it didn't. It hasn't yet.
Not yet, but it's coming. It's coming. Eric Jones, he has definitely got the potential, as you know.
Yes.
He's got the potential. I think it's just a question of let them go around one more time. Yep. Let them go around. The newness will be off then, and I think you're going to see the Eric Jones that you seen last year that had real, real good opportunities to win. I think you're going to see that. I also think you're going to see Chase Elliott do the same. He's gonna do a lot more, I think, in the second half of the year than what he's been doing in the first half. But here, let's hear from Kyle Busch Of course, he won last night at Richmond. Here's what Kyle had to say.
It was a great night tonight. You know, I wasn't sure we were going to have any dominance, and I don't think we necessarily did, but we certainly put ourselves in position all night long to have that opportunity and that chance to go out there and win the race. Thanks to our pit crew. Guys did an amazing job those last two pit stops, got us out front where we needed to be, got us a lead, and our car was fast enough on the short run to be able to hold on to it right there. So, you know, we knew, I thought the 4 and the 14 were probably the best on the long haul, especially after about lap 60. They seemed to be pretty good. That one run that came, I don't know, that green flag cycle of stops, it seemed like I was kind of closing in on those guys a little bit, and I was just trying to bide my time and see if the race was going to go green to the end. You know, you're trying to pick out your tire strengths, and that was going to be, what, 68 laps to the end or so?
Yeah,
so, you know, trying to bide my time and just try to hold on to the car and make sure I had tire to be able to race those guys if it came down green all the way, but it didn't, and we had some pit stops, so pretty cool to win 3 in a row. I mean, that's really special. Certainly, we did that in 15 and almost won 4 in a row. We ran out of gas a half a lap to go, and next week we go to Talladega. So I think it's easier to win the Powerball than to win at Talladega. But we'll give it a go anyways. We'll see what we get. And to tie another Hall of Famer certainly means a lot. You know, it's a huge deal to continue to climb the ladder of wins. You know, I don't know what else to say. Just I got to be thankful of Joe Gibbs Racing, and Toyota TRD, M&M's, everybody that's been our partners that's helped me get to this point in my career. And having Adam Stevens as my crew chief these last 3-4 seasons has just been a phenomenal experience, and we'll just keep digging.
I got a funny feeling Kyle Busch is going to win Powerball next week.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's hot right now, man.
Oh, he's definitely hot, but really, when you look at the overall amazing restrictor plate drivers, they are not guys like Kyle Busch. When you look at Ricky Stenhouse and the run that he is on right now, major performance numbers on super speedways, he's putting himself in contention, and I honestly think that he's going to be good. Another guy, Ryan Blaney, is awesome at restrictor plate races.
Yeah, he is.
I think we're going to see him, and as well that 21 camp. Paul Menard is a guy who's always been fast at restrictor plates. He puts himself in the right spot, just never has had the opportunity to really work with a group that would work with him.
Right.
And I think that, you know, after watching what we watched at Daytona this year, the Menards camp, he has to be close to a favorite going into this weekend with the Wood Brothers.
Yeah,
which is crazy to say, but I would take him in any fantasy pool going.
Well, there you go. It's going to be interesting, guaranteed. I love watching Talladega. Going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to switch the conversation back to ARCA, back to today's race at Salem, and we've got one of those drivers coming on, and driver the number 25, we have Natalie Decker going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay right there. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's Dave Jacobs of Jacobs Racing, 2009 NASCAR Canadian Tire Series champions, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam, heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here.
Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide
only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to ScotiaSpeedWorld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummings 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Baseball.
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 Every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing! The race leader on two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
Taking you all the way to the track and back. It's Race Time Radio. Sirius XM 167. Now, here's Joe.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. Well, if you weren't at Salem Speedway today, then you were probably tuned in to MAV TV. It was a dynamite race that we seen this afternoon in the ARCA presented by Menard Series. Our next guest didn't have the race she wanted, but nevertheless, she is there competing and doing a dynamite job. She's going to have a great race the next time out. But let's welcome in driver of the number 25 for Venturini Motorsports in a Toyota. Let's welcome in Natalie Decker. Natalie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Sure do appreciate the time. I know it was not the world's best day for you on the racetrack, but you did have a fast car early on.
Yeah, we had a really, really fast car. It was so good. I honestly think that was the best race car I've ever had. But we got wrecked later on in the race, and then it really went downhill from there.
Natalie, that racetrack, Salem Speedway, it kind of a character-filled speedway. What was it like going around that racetrack? Was it as bumpy in the car as what it looked?
It's even more bumpy in the car, I would say. It's pretty bumpy, but I come from short track racing, so I really enjoyed it. That's probably one of my favorite racetracks right now.
Natalie,
even though we didn't have the time we wanted.
That's right? You got to take the positives with the negatives.
Yeah, exactly.
Natalie, talk to us a little bit about people against distracted driving. Of course, you're the national spokeswoman of that initiative, and you've got lots of stuff coming down the pipeline with that.
Yeah, so PAD, People Against Distracted Driving, it's really cool. I went on board with them last year, and then this year I am now the national spokesperson. But we found out them through Venturini Motorsports. And what they do is they just, like, go around to different schools and show awareness of how dangerous distracted driving is. And then they also have these signs that they put up at racetracks and at schools and all over that just, like, warns kids and keeps a reminder to them to not drive distracted.
So, and they are backing the right driver. You do a great job with that. And kudos to you for doing it. It's a noble cause to have on that race car and to do what you do.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. So, so far you're with Venturini Motorsports. I know they had good success. You did as a team, today. What was it like to be with the Venturini guys and for everybody? I know, like I said, not a good day for you, but a great day for the team on a whole.
Yeah, Venturini Motorsports. I'm so happy that's my team and I race with them. I'm so happy we got on board with them last year and now we're doing the full season this year. It is honestly the best team out there and I love them so much because it's like one big family and it's run by a family and that's how I grew up racing.
So when you look at the racetracks that you've got still to come, we're just getting the season started, really. Which one do you have circled on your Natalie Decker calendar to say, this one here is the one I can't wait to get to?
There's a few of them. I'm really excited for Talladega because we ran really well at Daytona, and I really liked plate racing like that. That was really fun, and it was my first time doing it, so I'm excited to do it again. But I'm super excited also for Charlotte. I can't believe I got put on the schedule. I'm so excited to go there. And then another one is Madison, Wisconsin. That's my home state, so I'm just really excited. I know I'll have a lot of my fans there, and that'll be cool to see all of them.
Natalie, talk to us a little bit about that Wisconsin background. Obviously, that's a hotbed for all forms of racing, and you got a chance to turn a lot of laps out of that state prior to making the jump into the ARCA presented by Menards Series. For everybody that's not familiar with you, obviously, I think everybody in the racing community took note of you as soon as you stood on the stage as the pole winner at Daytona. But talk to us a little bit about your background in racing and what all you've done to get to where you're at today.
Yeah, I have a kind of a big background in racing. My family, the last name Decker, was really, really big in the snowmobile world. My whole family, my grandparents and my dad and his three brothers, they all raced sleds. And I grew up around that. My dad owns a snowmobile racetrack, but I really liked NASCAR and knew that's what I wanted to do other than snowmobiling. So I got into go-karts when I was 9. And then when I was 12, I was already racing at all the different short tracks throughout the Midwest. Then after that, I slowly moved up. Every year, I moved up a different division and all the way up until super late models. And I raced super late models for the past 4 years now. I've been in super late models. We've won about 3 different championships. Like, we've won a lot of races in the Midwest. My most winning track is State Park Speedway, owned by the Wimmers. And that's still my favorite track, but I don't know. Salem's kind of up there now. Even though we didn't run good at Salem, I really like that racetrack.
Well, you ran good up until one bad thing happened, right? You had a pretty good car today.
Yeah, we had a really, really fast car. And, yeah, we just got wrecked, and then it went downhill, but that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's part of racing, and it's the unfortunate part, but I guess you got to have some of those days to have some of those other days where you're standing in victory lane. And you know what? That would probably there's not going to be anybody more anxious for you to win than Billy Venturini Sr. He wouldn't mind giving you a kiss compared to look at what he had to put up with today with Christian.
Right, yeah. I can't wait for that kiss.
Yeah, right. You and everybody else, right, with Venturini. Kind of a cool tradition and kind of cool to see it continue on even again today. Natalie, Talladega is coming up. What's the thoughts heading into that one? How do you prepare for that race?
You prepare for that race just like any other race. I work out in the gym with Wendy Venturini 3 times a week, which has been helping me so much. It makes a big, big difference. I started doing that after Daytona, and I can already tell the difference after the last 2 races we've done. So I'm really excited to get to Talladega after doing all these workouts with Wendy. In the shop, though, they go...
From going
from Salem now, they pretty much only have 2 days to get everything turned around, loaded back up, and get out to Talladega. So they're going to be pretty busy in there.
Yeah, they definitely will be. With the ARCA presented by Menards Series, it's the most diversified schedule out of any national tours that we actually get a chance to watch. What's your thoughts heading on to dirt? You guys get to short tracks. You get all the way to super speedways. What's the thoughts heading off into dirt? You got experience on dirt?
I don't have very much experience on dirt. I've done 2 races on dirt, and one was like in a stock class, like a truck. It wasn't very fast, but it was fun. We actually won that race, and don't ask me how. I have no idea. It was, I think, luck. But then I did another dirt race out in Paris, California, and that was with the Yamaha R1 GT prototype cars. It was an invitational race, and that was really, really fun, but nothing like driving a big staff car on dirt. That's definitely going to be different, but I'm excited.
We're with Natalie Decker tonight, ARCA, presented by Menard Series driver for Venturini, driver of the number 25. Natalie, you had mentioned through, you know, your steps on the ladder, so to speak, in this sport. You're now up into the ARCA, presented by Menard Series. Whereabouts does the ladder top out for you? Are you going all the way to the top? What's your aspirations?
That's definitely the goal, is to make it all the way to the top. I'm pretty sure that's every race car driver's goal. So in my little plan I had all laid out 4 years ago when I was 14 years old, it's slowly getting there. I wanted to be racing in the ARCA series when I was 18, and when I was 18 we were in the ARCA series, and now this year we get to run the full season. And then, you know, the plan after that is, I don't really know yet, but you know, just taking step by step, and the trucks would be the next step. I don't know when that's going to happen, but that obviously needs to be the next step, and then slowly make our way up.
Yeah, fantastic. You got to have goals, and it sounds like, Natalie, when you set a goal, you hit the target, and that's kind of cool when you can do that. How about super late model racing? I know you're going to be tied up running the full tour with ARCA. You're going to get a chance to jump back behind the wheel of your super and do any races this summer that fans can look forward to seeing you at?
Our plan is definitely to do two or three super late races this year. We just don't have a schedule set yet, but I have two super late models sitting at home in Wisconsin in my shop, and I'm just hoping I can get into the seat. I'm pretty sure we'll make it happen. It'll probably be closer to the end of the year when things aren't so busy. These next couple months, we almost are at the track every weekend, so it's going to be hard to. But we will definitely try to get a few races in.
Well, that's cool. We got all kinds of listeners to Race Time. And when I mentioned we were going to have you on the program, one of the listeners chimed in and said, you got to ask her if she's going to head to Jucasa this summer to hit the big nationals that is going to take place at Jucasa Speedway. Is that one hit your radar at all?
I don't know yet. We haven't really talked about a schedule yet at all with my super late. All we have talked about is that we definitely need to do a few races. There's one track that I want to go to, and that's State Park Speedway, just because that's my home track, and I know I really want to hit that one. And a lot of my fans out there are begging me to come back, and I know I need to come back and see them for sure. So yeah. I'm going to definitely try to get that one on there.
Yeah, good stuff. And fans can stay up with you. You're active on Twitter, Facebook, all those different social medias, right?
Yep, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. My website's NatalieDeckerInc.com.
Good.
I actually just started a YouTube channel, too, Natalie Decker, and I've been, like, vlogging every day of what I do outside of racing and before races and after races and some of the testing that I've been doing with Venturini. So it's cool if people want to check that out, too. It's kind of fun.
You're as busy in the car or outside of the car as you are in the car.
Yeah, I feel more busy outside of the car than I do inside the car.
Pretty amazing. And I know you're doing a great job in both those different roles. Natalie, this has been great catching up with you tonight. We sure appreciate your time. I know you had a busy day today, and we sure do appreciate your time here on Race Time.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. That's Natalie Decker. Joe, not the best race for her today, but look at that. She's got more experience.
Yeah, for sure. And she does such a great job. She's an ambassador, you know, in the realm of motorsports. You have to be good at two different things, right? You need to be good at driving, and you also need to be good at marketing yourself. she does a great job of marketing herself, and you know, the imagery, you know, that comes out of the creativity that her and her camp have put together is really cool. She's going to go places in the sport. There's no question about it. She's not, you know, just a marketability driver. She can get after it and wheel. So it's going to be really interesting to see what all happens with that family. And really, when you look at you know, the connection, you know, with Venturini, there's been a lot of people go through that Venturini development program that have went on to have tremendous amounts of success.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you can't ask for a better partnership and a better place to learn the entire industry. You know, Billy and Billy Sr. and you
Tom,
know, Wendy and
yep.
Tom and the whole group, they're going to groom her you know, it'll be interesting to see what all happens this year. I think that you'll see her in victory lane. She's got a good enough car, and she's got a tenacious persona behind the wheel.
Sure.
They definitely get after it, and it'll be interesting to see where she ends up. It's going to be cool. It's definitely a driver to keep your eye on. And looking forward to seeing what she can do.
That's what I know. Like today, I got to tell you, I'm so, so happy here in Canada now. Television-wise, we've got Shaw Direct.
Yes.
And we finally have MAV TV now here in Canada, and it's on Shaw Direct. I know they've got other outlets. You know, MAV TV's been working away at this. We've had Mike Garrow on this program going back probably a year and a half ago. When everything got announced, and, you know, Mike's been chipping away at it. Him and his staff have been chipping away and working extremely hard to get MAV TV on here in Canada. They've done it. They've done it, and they're doing a tremendous job with it. I got to tell you, today, sitting back and turning that ARCA race on, it was phenomenal. I've loved the ARCA series since I became involved in racing. I've loved this series. It's a proving ground like no other proving ground. It's a diversified series. You've got more than just money teams in it, like there are a lot of teams with a lot of money in it. But you've got a lot of good, real talented drivers that are working their way up through in the ARCA presented by Menard Series. And that's what it's all about with ARCA. Tom Dreger has done an amazing job with this series, along with his staff. And sitting back today, watching MAV TV and watching that race live and hearing Dillner and listening to Jim Trado and Mike Wallace down on pit road, it was phenomenal. I can't wait. I'm going to catch every race on MAV TV that I can catch. It was really good watching it. And to see them on a short track, we see ARCA all the time at Daytona, Talladega, Michigan. Very seldomly. Well, I've never seen them on a short track.
Exactly. Yeah.
And to see the today,
they've always had a divided schedule, right? They've always had national races or national broadcast races.
Yes.
A handful of them. Whether it was, you know, Daytona, Talladega, you know, the tracks where the Cup guys go were always on TV, right?
Right.
You know, now over the past couple of years, it's been, you know, a relatively new thing for it to be on every single race, available on TV. They're doing a great job with it. Obviously, you know, the broadcast races are still there, and they've got a much larger audience that they can draw from. When they're on FS1, there's a tremendous amount more people that can view it, that have access to it. And then MAV TV picks up the slack on the rest of them, and they do a great job with it. And hats off to them for sure. It's cool to be able to watch. You know, a couple of races where I've watched have been some of the most exciting races. Madison last year was off the charts. You know, I watched Chad Finley go to victory lane last year in Nashville.
Right.
Just a phenomenal race to watch, and probably one of my top five races that I've ever watched was that ARCA race from Nashville, and this year sounded the exact same. So, you know, as well, I got a chance to take in, you know, DeCoin last year on MAV TV, and it was cool to watch. You know, it's you hear about the ARCA guys that on the dirt tracks, and we always seen the results. We've always talked about it, and had guests on, you know, after the show and,
yep,
and things like that. But I had never watched it, and it was definitely cool to watch.
Yeah, well, you were spoiled down in the U.S. living down there.
I had the whole thing.
Yeah, you had it all, and we had nothing up here. But it's so cool now that MAV TV is up and running and
yep,
available. So if you haven't tuned in to MAV TV, you got to give it a shot. They got a lot of great programming on that channel. Finally, a motorsports channel here in Canada that you can count on. It's MAV TV Canada, and good on everybody there. I can well imagine in over the next couple of weeks, we'll try and get Mike on this program to talk to him about some of the successes so far and what we can look forward to as the season unfolds on MAV TV. But I can tell you, just from today, I'm excited for the future and watching more ARCA races right from my couch. It's it's cool. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they grow. Like, when you look at what Speed Vision used to be, and I'm going to go way back in time here and talk about TNN. TNN used to be, you know, the place for non-NASCAR races. And then,
yes,
and then they would have some NASCAR content as well, whether it be the Busch Series or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
TNN always had content. And then, you know, they always had ASA. And, you know, they always had, you know, the Tucson Winter Nationals, and they would have, you know, the Fairgrounds 400 and the Winchester 400 and races like that back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking in the you know, the early to late 90s. You know, that transitioned out into Spike TV, lost all the motorsports coverage. And Speed Vision kind of took up the slack. And
right,
really, they grew and grew and grew to the point where they changed into FS1 and dropped all their small broadcast late, or, you know, racing coverage.
Right.
Which, really, there's been two transitions now where the channel has got so big because of it, and then they drop all of it.
Yeah.
Right? And there hasn't been a steady place for motorsports on television for a long time.
Well, that isn't going to happen with MAV TV. They're not going to drop out, and I'll tell you why. They're owned by Lucas Oil.
Exactly.
And Lucas Oil's roots are in racing, in short track racing. That's where Lucas Oil was founded.
Exactly.
And that's what they depend on. So kind of cool that they've got MAV TV now. So you know what? You're going to be able to count on it. They've got great product.
Yep.
And they've got a hell of a TV channel there, and it's available here now in Canada. And the U.S. guys are laughing because they've had it, you know,
for a while,
for a long time.
Yeah.
Want to let you know, IndyCar fans, it was rained out after, 22 laps today.
Yep.
Red flag, that IndyCar race from Barberville is going to go tomorrow. So Monday at 11:30 a.m., you'll be able to catch the IndyCar race on NBCSN is where you're going to be able to pull that race in. What else did I have to say? Oh, Sauble Speedway. Did you see that news through the week?
Yes.
Mark Dilley had been talking to town council, and by the sounds of it, we're going to get the August 4th Battle of the Beach is going to be televised on MAV TV or here in Canada, or Sportsnet here in Canada, MAV TV in the U.S.
Yeah, no.
So I don't know how that's going to work.
On the second portion of that,
we've only got 30 seconds.
I seen a message from the mayor saying that it was ESPN that was going to be broadcast.
ESPN, yeah, another one in there.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that.
We'll see as we get closer, but good on them. That's exciting stuff.
You want to believe it. Yeah, it's huge news. But that's going to do it for Junior and I here tonight in the Racetime Radio studio. Got to thank Susie Q right here for hooking us up with everybody. Got to thank everybody back in Toronto. And as mentioned, if you happen to have missed any of Racetime Radio, you can get to iTunes. It's available there on racetimeradio.com or many, many other ways. But that's going to do it for us here in the studio. Got to thank you all for tuning in, and got to thank all of our guests here tonight. And look forward to catching up with you next week right here on Racetime Radio. Have a safe week, everybody, and we'll see you back here next Sunday night live on Racetime Radio. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.